speaking today on this subject, the true way to heaven. The true way to heaven. And I'm going to be reading from the 14th chapter of John. If you would like to follow along in your Bibles, I would suggest that you take your Bible now and open it to John chapter 14. Now, while you're finding the scripture, I have some comments that I want to make and questions I'd like to ask. When a man dies, when a person dies, shall he live again? Is there really, do you really believe there is eternal life beyond this life, beyond the grave? Do you really believe that there's a future state of happiness and holiness called heaven? Do you believe that? I do. I really do. The Word of God plainly declares that there's not only life after death, but the Word of God declares that it's an eternal life of glory and of joy and of peace where there is no death. Now, this note sounded throughout God's Word. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then Abraham, you remember in Hebrews it said Abraham was looking for a city. He had no dwelling place upon this earth. He called no place his home. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And the Apostle Paul had a lot to say about it. He said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. And he said, I am in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart from this present life, from this earth, and to be with Christ. He said again, I have a desire to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. And then John wrote this in the book of Revelation. He said, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, that is, the things of this earth, are passed away. Behold, God said, I make all things new. Now, if the Word of God be true, and it is, then there can be no greater goal than to lay hold on eternal life. If there's life after death, life after this life, and it's what God says it is, a life of joy and a life of happiness and holiness, a life of peace, a life of glory, then there's certainly no greater goal than to lay hold on eternal life. In fact, Paul says that two or three times. He says, lay hold on eternal life. Obtain the favor of God. Attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, even Balaam, the old prophet back in the book of Numbers, he said this, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. I want to die the death of the righteous. Paul said this, he in the book of Philippians chapter 3, he said he had three desires. Three requests. He said, Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the third desire, Oh, that I might by any means attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let me ask you five serious questions. Listen carefully. Then we'll get into our scripture. Five serious questions. Do you really have enough serious thoughts about death, and about judgment and about eternity, to inquire with me into the subject, the true way to heaven? Do you have enough serious thoughts? Do you believe you're going to die? The Bible says it's appointed unto me and once to die, and after that the judgment. Boast not thyself of tomorrow even, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Do you think about these things seriously? And do you have enough serious thoughts about them that you'll inquire with me into the subject, the true way to heaven and the true way to peace? Moses was interested. Moses said in Exodus 33, Lord, show me your way. Show me your way. Show me your glory. Reveal to me your way. Second question, are your desires for a true knowledge of God and the way of salvation, are they really sincere? Are they genuine? Are you honestly seeking the truth? Are you seeking with a sincere heart to know the true way to heaven? Do you really want to know? And then the third question, are you willing to do this? Now, this is so difficult for most people. Are you willing to surrender your thoughts and listen to God's Word? Are you willing to surrender your traditions? We're so steeped in religious tradition. Are you willing to surrender your preconceived notions to the Word of God? In other words, like one of the writers said, let God be true and every man a liar. You, me, everybody else. But let God be true. Do you think on this subject? And if you do, are you serious? And then thirdly, are you willing to lay aside what you've always thought about the way to heaven, what you've always been taught, tradition, thoughts, preconceived notions, and just listen to God speak? You know, two or three times in the Scriptures it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end is destruction. And then Isaiah 55, Isaiah said, let the wicked forsake his thoughts and the unrighteous man his ways, and let him return to the Lord. Here's the fourth question. Are your desires for eternal life, are they honoring and glorifying to God? Are you willing to come on God's terms? That's what I'm asking. Are you willing to come to God on His terms? After all, now, we're the guilty ones. We're the offenders. We're the mercy beggars. God does not owe us anything. I hear people arguing about the way to heaven, and they argue like that God owes them heaven, that heaven wouldn't be heaven without them. But I tell you this, God must be just and justifier. God must be a just God and a Savior. God must glorify and honor His law and His justice and His true attributes and character if He saves you. He's laid down some terms. And are you willing to come to God on His terms? On God's terms. Matters not what we think, it's what does God require. And then the fifth question, are your desires for God and eternal life, are they permanent, or is this just a passing fancy? I know people get an interest in religion at certain seasons of the year, Easter and Christmas. People get an interest in religion and the things of religion, the Bible and other things, when they get sick or somebody dies, everybody gets real religious, or when a baby's born or a wedding or something of that sort, people get interested in religion. But what I'm asking you is this. Are your desires for God and a relationship with God and to know the true way to heaven, is it permanent, or is this something you've just a passing fancy? Well, I tell you this, it better be permanent. James said this in James chapter 1, I believe it's verse 5, 6, and 7. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth wisdom. But he said, let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Uncertain. If you're asking for knowledge, and if you're asking for wisdom, if you're asking for a revelation of God's gospel and God's way, be careful you're not wavering now. Be careful that you're sincere and you mean this thing, and it's not just a passing fancy, something you're inquiring into for the moment. For it says, he that is wavering, he that is uncertain, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of God. See, God looks on the heart. And he doesn't play games with men. And those who, he said, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. So I mean this now, when we go into this subject here, the true way to heaven. Do you have some serious thoughts about it? Well, are you sincere in wanting to know? And are you willing, am I willing, to lay aside our own thoughts, our own traditions, our own preconceived notions, and just listen to the Word of God? Are we willing to come to God on His terms? Let Him lay down the terms. We're seeking the mercy. A man who's guilty of a crime, who stands before the judge, he doesn't lay down the terms. The judge lays down the terms. And this man's willing to receive mercy on the terms that the judge lays down. Who's the judge of the earth? And I'll tell you this, I'm sincere. There's no passing fancy with me. I want to know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And I know this, I know that everything that calls itself religion today claims to be the way to God. I hope in the years you've listened to this program, at least you've noticed a little difference. There's a whole lot of difference. I hope you've noticed a little bit. We're not playing games. I'm not entertaining people on the road to hell. We're not putting on a show here or selling things or seeking support and building schools and buildings and churches and having telethons and all that foolishness. I'm trying to teach people the Word of God. The Word of God. And I know everything that calls itself religion today claims to be the way to God and the way to heaven, but they can't all be right because it's a different. But our Lord defines the way to heaven, and if you want to know, you listen to me for a few moments. Take your Bibles now and turn to John 14. John 14, in which our Lord declares, verse 6. You're familiar with this verse. You've read it so many times. I have. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Well, what was this all about? What had been said? To whom was he speaking? What's this all about? He just flat out, plain declares, I'm the way, truth, and the life. And no man, doesn't matter Baptist, Catholic, or Jew, or what, he's not coming to the Father but by me. Male, female, old, young, intelligent or not so intelligent. He's not coming to the Father except by me. Well, here's what it's all about. Back in chapter 13, one or two verses back, the Lord had told His disciples that He was going away. He said, I go away, and where I go, you cannot come. You cannot follow me at this time. But He said, you will. I'm going away, but you can't follow me at this time. Well, they didn't understand what He was talking about. They didn't know what He was talking about. What was He talking about? He was talking about He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. He was going to the grave. He was going to heaven, to the right hand of God, where He made an atonement, where He entered the Holy of Holies and obtained eternal redemption. He said, you can't go with me now. You can't go to the cross with me. By Himself He purged our sin. You can't go to the grave with me. He walked the winepress of God's wrath alone. He paid the debt alone. You can't go with me now. I go to my Father. You remember he said, touch me not, don't cling to me. I go to my Father. Well, you can't make this trip. You can't make this journey. You will later. You see that? You will later. Well, they didn't understand that. They didn't understand that. So Peter says, well, why can't we? Why? He said, why can't we? He said, why? I'll lay down my life for your sake. I'll die for you. To which the Lord replied, no, Peter, no. You're a man like everybody else. And you'll deny me three times before the cock crows this very night. You see that? You're a man like everybody else. You're just as sinful and just as weak and just as without ability as anybody else. And you may boast and brag about what you do, but you're just like everybody else. And you'll deny me three times. And then they were all troubled. They were troubled and had a right to be troubled. Peter was troubled and he was their spokesman. He usually spoke for the crowd. And they had a right to be troubled and we have a right to be troubled. When we think what weak, sinful creatures we are, aren't you? Romans 3 says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They altogether become unprofitable. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 64:6 says, we all do fade as a leaf in the winter. And our iniquities have driven us away. Even our righteousnesses are filthy rags. I tell you, left to ourselves, we'll never stand or abide in God's presence. I know that. In fact, he said, David wrote in Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy presence? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who's never lifted up his soul to vanity, who's never even exaggerated. Well, that lets all of us out, doesn't it? And the disciples were troubled, and I'm troubled, and you're troubled, and we need to try to find out the true way to heaven, the way to God, the way to stand in his presence. So here in John 14:1, here it is, listen. Then our Lord spoke, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He's not asking a question. He says, you do believe in God. You do believe in God. You do, don't you? Of course they do. Then believe in me. You believe in God when I believe in me. You see, we believe in Christ as our surety with the Father. The Father being holy, immaculate, infinitely, unchangeably holy, we've got to have a surety. And Christ, God made him surety of a better covenant. We believe on me, he said, as your surety. You believe in God, believe in me as your representative. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. Representation. The first man is of the earth earthy, the second man's the Lord from heaven. Believe in me, I'm your representative. You believe in God, you believe in eternal life, you believe in mercy. Well, believe in me as your righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We got to have a righteousness. Believe in me as your Savior. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. Believe in me. Believe in me. You believe in God. Believe in me as your mercy seat. God has set him forth as a mercy seat. Believe in me as your high priest, seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. You got to believe in him. Can't believe in yourself. Can't put any confidence in the flesh. You believe in God, believe in the priest. He won't help you. You believe in God, believe in the evangelist. He won't help you. You believe in God, believe in yourself. That's what the preachers say, positive mental attitude. You're okay, I'm okay. I'm not okay. I don't think you are. Christ said, you believe in God and who God is and what God is and where God is, you better believe in me. Because I'm the way to God and I'm the truth and I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You better believe in me. You better put your eggs in one basket. And that basket's Christ, the Son of God. It's the only safe place. Believe in me as your high priest. Believe in me as your mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and me, and you'd better believe in him. Believe in me as your advocate. These things I write unto you, John said, that you sin not. But if any man sin, thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Mary? She's no advocate. It's Jesus Christ the righteous. He has no competitor. He has no rival. He has no stand-in. You believe in God? He said, you believe in me. Abraham did. Abraham saw his day and was glad, rejoiced to see his day. Moses did. He said, Moses wrote of me. David did. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Job did. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He's going to stand on this earth. I'm going to see him. Paul did. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Peter did. He said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. John did. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son shall never see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you believe in him? They were troubled. And he said, you believe in God. You believe in me. I can take you to God. I can take you to God. See, I came from the Father. I and my Father one. My Father always hears me. He doesn't always hear you. The woman at the well was so frustrated, she finally said to Jesus of Nazareth, she said, well, she said, when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. Christ said, I'm he. I'm he. I'm the Messiah. And then in verse 2, he said, now you believe in God? Believe in me. Put your hope and trust and confidence in me. I'll take you home. You see, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Where? My Father's house. What are they? Mansions, dwelling places, they're permanent places. You sure? He said, there are many. How many? Many. Many. Plenty of room. No vacancies, but plenty of room. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go. Not the church, not the preacher, not the priest, not the pope, not Brother Mahan, not your mom or daddy. I go. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. I go to prepare for you. To prepare? How does he prepare a place? You mean he's up there building something? All God has to do is speak. No, he's not talking about preparing a physical place, though it is, but he's talking about preparing you for the place and preparing the place for you by substitution, by satisfaction. In other words, you don't belong in that place till he makes you holy. You don't belong in that place till he puts your sins away. You don't have a title or a right to that place till he makes you fit by his robe of righteousness and by the cleansing of his blood. He makes you fit. He lifts the beggar from the dunghill, that's us, dunghill dwellers, and exalts them to the throne. He said, I go to the cross. I go to the grave as your scapegoat. I go to heaven as your mediator and intercessor, as your great high priest, as your atonement, as your blood at sin offering. I go to do all this so you can go to that place. And I'll tell you this, he said in verse. See, he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He prepares a place for us, and he prepares us for the place by his precious blood and his perfect life. And he said, now, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's sure and certain. Sure, and he said, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. And him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out. If I go, if I prepare a place, if I pay the price, I'll come back. If God spared not his own Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And John said, Lord, I tell you, we're so slow, aren't we? So were these men. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And that's when he said, John, I'm the way. There's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one heaven, one God, one Father, and there's only one Savior and one way to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. Other foundation can no man lay. I'm the way. I'm the truth. The truth is a person. It's not a system of doctrines, not a creed. Christ is the truth. He's the key of knowledge. He opens every door. Every door. And he said, I'm the life. Martha said to him, she said, Lord, I believe my brother's going to rise again at the resurrection. He looked at her and he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and I'm the life. And he that liveth and believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Have I been honest with you? Have I been truthful? You can't argue with the Word, can you? That's what it says. Whatever else we may think and whatever else someone else, this is what it said. I am the way. If you want this tape, write for it. It's called The True Way to Heaven. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.